Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what is residual air and where is it found? Vicky Gold is a highly experienced physical therapist, presenter, and educator. She's a graduate of Hunter College in New York, where she majored in physiology, psychology, and kinesiology. Her physical therapy training was completed at New York University, where she went on to PhD studies in biomechanics and ergonomics. Ms. Gold is a former director of the Physical Therapist Assistant Program at LaGuardia Community College in New York. She's been on the faculties of several academic physical therapy programs, including New York University, Hunter College, and California State University in Fresno, California. Ms. Gold has worked at New York's prestigious Rusk Institute, Sloan Kettering Memorial Hospital, and at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles, where her back injury prevention workshop became required for all employees, leading to the development of her ABCs of prevention and fitness. In 1993, she created TheraFitness, which offers programs specifically designed for both professionals and the general public. Her presentations related to physical therapy, fitness, and injury prevention have been seen in multiple locations across the United States, and this week she's sharing her insights with us.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Vicky. Could you first tell us a little bit about your own background and what kind of techniques you're familiar with and maybe that you've used?
Sure. So I guess the audience knows that I am a physical therapist. I've been one. Today is actually 51 years that
wow.
I've been a licensed physical therapist. And my background has been very eclectic. I was never one of those people that wanted to specialize in one aspect of physical therapy. Although I will say that my biggest interest has been in what we call therapeutic exercise. So I've been less interested in machines and more interested in the different ways I can help people move physically. My specialties have been what we call neurophysiologic approaches to therapeutic exercise, and I've used a lot of what we call manual resistance.
What is that?
Instead of just hanging weights on people, which you see in a lot of therapy practices, I would actually resist people's movement. They'd have to work against me. So I was actually getting a lot of exercise at the same time my patients were. And there's a particular technique called proprioceptive neuromuscular facilitation, which uses a lot of diagonal and rotational movements because they found that resisting muscles that way actually caused them to respond more fully.
Tell us about the system that you've developed, this ABC system.
The ABC system evolved because not only am I traditionally trained as a physical therapist, but I've always had an interest in mind-body techniques. So I've got some background with yoga and Tai Chi, Alexander and Feldenkrais techniques and Pilates. And because I love to teach, I said I need to take all these more esoteric movement techniques and put them into a simple ABC system. And so the ABCs became alignment, breathing, and centering. And when I started teaching my patients or my clients to do align, breathe, center before they would start their exercise program, it turned out that, you know, the results were much better. It helped get them both mentally and physically prepared to move.
When did you develop this? Or when did you start to develop it?
It probably evolved over many, many years. Again, like I said, I've been in the field 51 years as of today. But one of the stories I tell is about a patient I had who complained about not being able to raise her arm up. And she was early for her appointment, so I sat her up straight in the office chair where she was waiting, and I put a little support in her back, so I helped get her well aligned, put a support under her arms so they weren't weighing down on her body. And 15 minutes later, I came back and I asked her again what her problem was, and she raised her arm straight up.
Wow.
So simply by adjusting her postural alignment, we actually took care of the problem in her shoulder. So that's one of the things that made alignment such a critical portion of my ABCs. It was a remarkable thing to see. I could have sent her home. The breathing came out of my experience working on the chest therapy team of New York University. And there we learned the importance of using slow, prolonged exhalations. The slow, prolonged exhalations became very critical for people with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease because slow, prolonged exhalations help get rid of stale air that sits in the corners of the lungs. Medically, it's called residual air. And most people, and especially those who have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, do not clear the lungs of this stale air that sits in the periphery, and therefore they wind up not having as great a respiratory capacity as might be beneficial. And also that residual air can be a source of pneumonia if people gather secretions in the corners of the lungs and they don't clear them out. The other thing that became critical or became evident with exhalation is that that's what we call relaxation phase of breathing. So if you think about what you do if you've been stressed, very often people will heave a sigh of relief. So exhalation is also a source of stress reduction. And becoming conscious of your breathing pattern, which is something I emphasize in my trainings, just becoming conscious of your breathing, slowing it down, prolonging that exhalation, you now are managing stress in a much more effective way.
And the C?
And finally, the C became centering. And centering wound up having three different meanings. The first one became mind and body working together. And inevitably, if I ask people, how many times have you had a fall or an injury because your mind is one place but your body is doing something else, inevitably hands go up, including my own. So taking the time to just think about what you're doing in the moment that you're doing it is centering, what I call centering. But then if people are familiar with techniques like Tai Chi, which is a very slow, controlled movement, they will notice that the movement is actually coming from or being generated at the person's center, which you could consider being just that spot a little bit under, lower than the belly button. And moving from the center can be a way of developing balance and movement control. And finally, centering is also what people should be doing when they're carrying heavy packages, holding those packages as close to their center as possible, so that minimizes leverage and potentially straining the back. So, of course, I go into much more detail when I'm doing a workshop or presentation, but those are the ABCs, alignment, breathing, centering.
Who is this designed for? Or is it anybody, or is it people with particular problems?
What I have found is that it's universally appropriate for any adult. Kids are, you know, you're not going to get a kid to stand and align, breathe, and center. They're busy doing their own thing. So I have introduced this to people of literally all ages and levels of ability. The elite athlete and professional dancers everybody who moves needs to be aware of how they hold their bodies when they move, their breathing patterns, if they're going to maximize their respiratory capacity. And, of course, they need to center on what they're doing so that they can perform their sport or their dance move without causing injury. But then even with my frail elderly patients who, you know, are barely able to maintain their posture in their wheelchairs, they are still able to be positioned so that their posture is better. They can be taught to do these slow, prolonged exhalations. Centering may not be as big an issue, but everyone, every adult, can benefit from learning these ABCs. And I usually say, look, just like you need to learn ABC to read and write, these ABCs are what you need to be able to move more safely, more efficiently.
Do you do this one-on-one or in groups?
I have actually done a quick ABC lesson to people standing on the checkout line at a store. Sometimes I can't say how the conversation comes up, but I can do a one-on-one in a matter of minutes, or I've also been able to do a full-day workshop for physical therapy professionals. So it can be done as quickly as a few minutes to a single person to a presentation that could be a day or two to a large group. So it's really very adaptable.
Keeping in mind that you're located near New York and our audience is very international, must this be done in person or can people also participate via the internet?
They can participate via the internet. That's something we'll talk about developing. But I've actually conducted classes with homebound elderly where all we had available to us was the phone. And I was able to coach them in correct sitting, how to modify whatever chairs they might be sitting in so that their seating was optimal. I can certainly do breathing work with people over the phone. So it can be done that way. And also I wanted to mention, Linda, that if your listeners are interested, you know, we can give them my email address. I have a handout that I could make available, and certainly they can contact me by email.
Is your email on your website?
It is.
Okay. No, yes. I mean, we'll give the website. We're going to give the website. We're going to give a link to the website.
Okay.
Okay. Is there any relationship between this system and other wellness techniques? Because I know that wellness has become very much in fashion, and there are many, many different techniques that people are trying or following.
Again, the ABCs was my attempt to take essential, basic and essential elements from a lot of these other, more movement techniques, I'd say, than, you know, when you say wellness, I think of nutrition and medication and things like that, and I don't, you know, I don't go there. But again, it integrated the basic techniques from, as I said, yoga, tai chi, and other well-known mind-body movement systems. I don't know if that answered your question.
Yes, because my next question was going to be, does food or diet play a part at all? And you already answered that. So.
Okay. I think what I would say, since I am, you know, not a nutritionist and certainly not a doctor, but I know enough about nutrition to just say that eating whole foods is always the better way to go. The less processing, the better. So I'm both my husband and I are big fans of fruit and nuts and whole grains, and we're doing pretty well at our age.
Who generally participates in the sessions or workshops? I mean, do you have a profile as to age, gender? Anything like that?
And I would say probably any adult, and for some reason the number age 35 is coming to mind, but any adult who starts having some interest and some consciousness about their physical and mental well-being is really a candidate. So you just have to have an interest and a desire to learn more about how and why to move certain ways.
Can you tell us a little bit about the feedback that you've gotten from people who've participated?
The feedback, you know, has been very gratifying. I'm thinking of a presentation I did for a group of over 100 retired teachers in New York City. And one of the techniques that I taught during that presentation was how people, in order to stand up more easily from a chair, to come forward in the chair first instead of trying to come to standing while you're sitting all the way back in the chair. So just by coming forward to the front edge of the seat and then leaning forward and standing up is a lot easier. And one lady came to me after the presentation, and she said that this was the first time since she had had both her hips replaced that she was able to stand up without any effort.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's not strictly ABCs, but during presentations, there are some other little tricks that I teach people. But the feedback has always been good. And when I was working at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, that was in Los Angeles, and I was the primary educator for back injury prevention. So that was back in the late 70s. So I was already doing a variation of the ABCs, and somebody came to me afterwards, and she said, you know, when I go to move a patient now, I remember. So I must have been doing ABCs already. Wow. You triggered my memory, Linda. But people saying, I went to do something and I remembered ABC.
Well, it's easy to remember ABC.
It is. Well, and because I have also been interested in doing courses for professionals, professional physical therapists, other people in the medical profession, I started exploring patient education and found several articles talking about how it's progressively more important for people to learn more about self-care. And so I read some articles about different kinds of educational or patient education programs that are being created. I found out that my program is a mnemonic, and that's found to be a very effective tool for teaching people. So I have an ABC's mnemonic.
Well, thank you very much.
I hope this was of some use to the audience, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with you, Linda.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSephirah.com. See you next week.